Okay, today, we're going to be talking about a subject that needs to be taught in every church today. I mean every church, because it's affecting so many churches. It's not a message I want to preach. It's a message I got to preach. And it's so sad. In the last days, the Bible says there's going to be a big falling away. 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians talk about that. And other scriptures. Jesus talked about it in Matthew chapter 24. People turning away from God and from the Word of God. Living for the Lord. As I was saying earlier, we watched Larry King live on Larry King. On Larry King, he had John MacArthur and six or seven other guests, and only one of them knew the truth. Everybody else had their own truth. And all of them were satisfied with their truth. But there's not but one truth. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. But in our country and in the world today, we have a lot of sexual sins. Sexual sins fill our society today. Even the church is plagued with members who are involved in fornication, adultery, and homosexual sins. Churches. We got church pastors that's gay men. Women. Lesbian pastors. Everything you can imagine we got in church today and as being church. Sexual sins of every nature. They've even come up with, some of them, 54 different kind of sexes. Well, we're going to be talking some about this today. In the last several weeks, I heard of a large church who had just finished investigating their pastor and found he was involved in an affair, so they dismissed him. This is happening a lot in churches. Remember the swagger thing that happened. The baker thing was the same thing also. And others. Sex is a gift from God. Given to us to use in a marriage relationship only. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. That's plain in the Bible. Here's some scriptures. And I have quite a few, and I'd ask you to write down these scriptures because you won't have time to keep up with me, that you can just go back and read over them yourself if you have the verse that I'm reading from. First of all, in Matthew 5, 31 and 32, Jesus said this, "Whoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever shall marry her that is divorced, committed adultery." In 1 Corinthians 6:13, "Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body." In 1 Corinthians 6:18 and 19, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body." in 1 Corinthians 7, 1 and 2, it's good for a man not to touch a woman, nevertheless. To avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. In 1 Corinthians 8 and 10, neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. In Galatians 5:19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Ephesians 5:3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints, Paul wrote. And finally, this verse from Revelation 2 and 20 and 21. Nevertheless, I have a few things against thee, because thou serverest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and subdue my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. You know what happened to Jezebel because she didn't repent? They pushed her down from an upper balcony, and she hit the ground, and the dogs ate her. God hates sex sins, church. Like I say, every church this morning ought to hear this message from God's Word. Not that I'm a good preacher. I'm just going to preach what God says, because it's rampant in our churches today. And I'm talking about Baptist churches too. God made man, and then he made a woman. When I woke up this morning, Mom was a-hugging up to me, and I didn't even want to wake up. For the man, and God married them to live together for life. Now, that's a matter of truth. One man, one woman for life. What could break that relationship was either death or adultery. That's the only two ways to get out of it. God did not give single people the option to fornicate if they did not marry. You know what fornicate is, I hope. It's to have sex outside of marriage and you're not married. God did not give single people this option. Sex was for pre-creation between a man and a woman and to fulfill their sexual needs, according to the Bible. The consequences of fornication. Let's see some of the consequences of those practicing involved with fornication. Fornication leads to children being born out of wedlock. You know, they wouldn't even let a child born out of wedlock go to the temple in the Old Testament for 10 years. Fornication also led to the sin of murdering babies in their mother's womb. We've got to get rid of this thing. We're not married. This sin is a sin against God who gave this life. This is a sin against society. It's a sin against another person. In our day, with Johnson's help in 64, with all the children being born out of wedlock, they began to get big checks, lots of support, and that's still going on today, even more so. And if you notice in our bulletin today, those that are on those social services end of everything are getting more than us who paid in for our Social Security benefits. we're far outnumbered by the free giveaway people. It's a sin against oneself when one fornicates. It's a sin against that little baby. And sin has consequences that brings the judgment of God. We just talked about Jezebel. She led God's saints or servants to sin. Look what happened to her. God took care of her. For the unsaved who engaged in fornication, their sin is just added to the list of all their sins that they'll be judged for one day. Sex outside of marriage brings many diseases. People in this county who know tell me that venereal disease is rampant in this county. People are eat up with it. For the believer in Jesus, it brings the chastening hand of God upon them. God will deal with everyone that don't repent. And when I say repent, the Bible says you quit sinning. You don't just say, Lord, forgive me, and keep doing it. You hadn't repented. When you repent, you quit. For church members, sex sins has caused the Holy Spirit to be hindered in the salvation of the lost. And I believe that's one of the things in our churches today. There's no Holy Spirit working much. Sin. Blatant sin. And happy with it. They're happy. God ain't happy, I'll tell you that. And they're going to have a time when they ain't going to be happy. I'm just telling truth. I'm just telling truth. Amen. Just because everybody's doing it, don't make it all right with God. In Hebrews 12, 6 through 8, God chastens Christians, the Bible says. And he tells why he chastens them. For whom the Lord loveth. Did you get that? For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But then listen to what he said. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards. And not sons. If you can sin and God don't deal with you, you're not saved. You know, if you got a family, you wouldn't go over to somebody else's family and whip their children, would you? That's the way God is. The devil's got children, and God's got children. He whips his children. 1 Corinthians 11, 31 and 32. For if we would judge ourselves, listen to this, folks. This is beautiful. God's good, folks. Listen. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. That we should not be condemned with the world. Isn't God good? How God chastens one of his children depends on God's wisdom. He may know where it hurts the worst or is the most effective. But he knows all about all of us, and when we sin and fail to honestly repent, he will deal with us because he loves us all so much. We're not supposed to bring shame to our great God. To repent means to have a change of mind. I'm doing wrong. And I asked the Lord for forgiveness, and I turned and I go to live in the way he said to live. That's what repent is. No one has repented if they keep on committing the same sin. They've not repented. They've just acknowledged they are sinning. Not only does God chasten his sinning children, but they're going to lose rewards when they stand at the judgment, church. See, it's going to lose two ways. Going to get whipped here, lose rewards at the judgment, and then a third way, God can't use you in this world. So you're going to lose three ways. If we have unconfessed sin in our life, God cannot use us, church. If God does not judge us when we sin, then we're not God's children, because God judges his children. Fornication has always been a problem with man as far back as history records, because man's a sinner. We're all sinners. And we have an enemy that wants to make us disobey God. He wants us to think that everything we see or feel is good for us. That's the devil's ploy. But this book here tells us what's the best for us. This is a book of truth. This book tells you how to get the best out of life. You can lay down at night with peace in your heart. You can enjoy fellowship with the Lord. But it breaks my heart. People won't listen to the truth. They're not listening. Even the Israelite people, God's people, folks, were guilty of this sin. And God, as I've already read in one scripture, killed 23,000 in one day for that one sin. 23,000 in one day, God struck down. You think God likes fornication? Mm-mm. God's people are supposed to live holy. We've been made a new person. And if we can live in sin like that, that apparently proves we're not saved. And we need to get saved. Let's talk about the believer's identity a minute. In 1 Peter 2:9-11. The believer's identity. Who are you? Look up here at me. Who are you? If you've been saved, you're a child of God. You're of royal blood. Listen to what Peter said in God's word. Ye are a chosen generation, Christians. You're a royal priesthood. Them people over yonder in England are not royal people unless they're saved. We're a royalty. We have the blood of Jesus. Now that's royalty. And the Bible says you're a holy nation. We're a nation of people as the body of Christ. A peculiar people. We're supposed to be different. How? By living holy. By living by the word of God. That ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Folks, this morning you are very blessed to be in a church where we're promoting Jesus Christ and not man. Amen? We're promoting Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, that died on the cross for all of our sin. We're here to hear from him today and to worship him today and to love him today because of who he is. You know, today we could go be with him. one of us, two of us, or all of us. Peter said, which in time past were not a people of God, but are now the people of God. We didn't used to be God's people till we're born again. Which had not obtained mercy, but now we've obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, listen, which war against your soul. Oh, the devil wants to stir up lust in us to get us chasing after things that God doesn't approve of. Then they're warring against our soul. I want to do this. Boy, I sure love to. No. That's the devil trying to get you to step over the fence. As believers, we're to live a sanctified life. That is, we are to live to please the Lord. Are you really trying to please the Lord? Ask yourself that question. Are you really trying to please the Lord? No, it's not easy to live a holy life unless one is fully committed to do so. If you're fully committed to do so, I mean, you can live a life for the Lord if you want to. But if you want to kind of be on the borderline, let the devil work with you, hey, it's going to be hard. We have to learn to say no. We have the Holy Spirit in us to help us. You know, God didn't leave us helpless. God gave us His Spirit when He saved us to help us to resist if we're willing to resist. And He's given us His Word so that we might know His will, that we might not get on the wrong way. Because we're just bringing trouble on ourselves. We're just saying, Lord, send me some trouble when we get over disobeying the Lord. I don't know about you. Of course, I had to grow myself. All of us have to grow. Oh, I'd like to go back and live some years over. But listen to me. Ever since I gave myself to the Lord completely, it's been the best days of my life, and I've had so much trouble since then. But you know what? It was a different kind of trouble. Different kind of trouble. Us humans, we're just so prone to wander, folks. We're just so prone because that's our nature. We were born with this nature. And Romans chapter 6, if we would spend some time in that chapter, it tells us how to deal with these members of our body, bringing them in subjection, making them obey what God says, folks, what God says. The Word of God is to instruct us in righteousness and to warn us of Satan's tactics to try to overthrow us. We got an enemy coming against us, folks. I'm going to tell you something. This morning when I woke up, I had an awful dream. And there's going to be some trouble somewhere that I'm going to face or something. I know it. And you know the first thing that popped in my mind? What popped into my mind was, you better not preach this sermon today. But you know what I said? I said, Lord, you called me to preach. And unless you tell me not to preach it, I'm going to preach. I'm preaching Jesus will satisfy all your needs. All your needs. All your needs. I lived 10 years by myself. By myself. 10 years. You can live by yourself and live clean and right. The devil wants to destroy your testimony when you step over the line. You don't have a testimony when you step over the line. It's ruined. It'll take years and years to ever get it back. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. That's the danger of sin, church. It's not just this church. It's just about probably every church now in this age in which we find ourselves. The moral quality of life is gone so many places now. Satan uses the advertising industry by presenting their products in a lustful manner that they'll know people will be hard-pressed to resist. Look how the beer commercials, liquor commercials, everything is so glamorous in their presentation, but it kills so many people. It wrecks so many people's lives when they're in accidents, the liquor industry. But on the advertisement, it's all so wonderful. That's Satan's deception. When I was in college, I did a paper on drunkenness, and for every dollar you got for from taxes, from the liquor crowd, you had to pay 40 for the damage done. I found that out back in the 70s while I was in college over at Pembroke. Isn't that something? And yet the politicians sold that. We'll use that money to help our schools or some, I forget, I believe it was schools back then they were going to use it for. And then they put one on us about to help with the roads, you know. Folks, you can't use sin and profit from it. You really can't. But Satan, that's his ploy, to subdue all he can and to wrecking their lives and keeping as many as possible hooked on his schemes rather than living for the Lord. Oh, I wouldn't be happy if I had to go to church all the time. Well, I'll agree with that if you're not saved. if you're lost, you don't want to hear about your sin. You don't want to hear living godly and holy. But if you got to hear in the Word of God, Faye and I watched a extremely intelligent professor woman, I believe it was Friday night on YouTube. She was a lesbian, but she had heard a preacher friend. He got to talking to her about the Word of the Lord, and after a while she was a reading it, and before long she got saved. A professor now, a lesbian now. I mean, she was a highly educated woman. But when she got into the Word of God, sin got cut out. That's what sin does. It condemns you, but the Word of God will cut it out if you believe it. But you got to believe it. Boy, her life got changed. She got out of that lesbian crowd, and she finally got married, and she's happy as she can be, appears. Loving the Lord, serving the Lord now. When men and women engage in sex outside of marriage, they're showing they have no respect for God or His Word. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 6, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead in sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, we were baptized into His death. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Romans 6, 1 through 4. when we were saved, we were saved, if we were saved. And then we went down into a watery grave by being baptized by immersion, which is a picture of the death and burial and the resurrection of Christ, and that we are identified with Him in His death and in His resurrection, church. We should not want to serve Satan's purposes. We ought to be mad at the devil, folks. Listen to me. You ought to get mad at the devil. All he wants to do is hurt you and me, discourage you and me. That's all God, the devil wants. We ought to get mad at the devil when we see what he's doing to people. We need to get mad at the devil who wants to damn people's souls, because he's doing it every day. He's doing it every day, damning people's souls. Spiting God, that's what he's doing. Spiting God to keep God from having them. We're to get mad at the devil for cheating us out of the best of life. Some of the best years we could have had, the devil cheated us out some good. He's a devil, folks. He don't love you. He don't even like you. He hates you. But he comes across with such a smooth and suggesting manner. You're just missing out on so much. Yeah, you sure are. If you don't listen to him, you'll miss all his troubles. Amen. Or to get mad at the devil for causing us to lose rewards at the judgment. Look at the rewards we're going to miss out on because there was so much time we listened to the devil in our life. Yeah, we need to get mad at the devil. The devil's a real person too. He's a busy feller. He's just looking for anybody he can sucker into sex sins of some nature. Yeah, you got your rights. Yeah. Hey, did you make yourself know you're accountable to God, folks, who is holy, who demands holiness, folks? And it took Jesus Christ dying on a cross to make anybody holy. Only Jesus Christ dying on the cross could make us holy. Nothing less could have made us holy and acceptable than the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And we still don't have righteousness except his righteousness. It's his righteousness that makes us acceptable. Not because I'm a good little boy or a good little girl. That won't get me to heaven, folks. It's Christ's righteousness. The reason people get trapped into sexual sins is this. Listen to me. Here's why people get trapped, get deceived. They're not faithful in attending the church. They just go to church at Easter or Christmas. Church is not that important. What did the Word of God say? It's that we're supposed to be in church on the Lord's Day. Yeah. They don't spend time reading their Bible at home either. You open up your Bible and read it at home. Spend time in it, study it. Oh, I just wish I had enough eyes I could just read every chapter at the same time. Amen. Because there's some good stuff in this old book. Yeah, people get trapped with sexual sin because they don't pray enough. Or maybe they don't even pray, I don't know. They engage in conversation with the wrong people. Yeah. You can get to talking to somebody you think's your friend and they can lead you into sin. They lead you into sin. I know some instances like that. Yeah. They thought it was a okay thing, but it wound up a bad deal. Bad deal. People get trapped because they're not committed to living for the Lord. I've just got to save part of my life for myself. Folks, we got to learn to die to self. We got to learn to give ourselves totally to the Lord. Live for the Lord. Quit living for myself. It's so bad. Let's talk about our weapons. You know we got weapons. The old book gives us some weapons to help us stay out of sin. In 2 Corinthians 10, maybe you want to write it down, 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. And listen to this next statement. Casting down imaginations. What's going on in your mind? What you thinking about all the time? And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. Got to watch your thought life. You like to read pornography? True romance? Or some of these other stores? I don't even know the name of them anymore. Hey, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We need to have this kind of mentality, church. I just want to please Christ. I just want to please the Lord. I just want the Lord to be pleased with me. We've got to get that kind of mentality, church. In Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be a strong Christian. Be committed. Be devoted. Be determined. I'm not going to let anybody get me out of church. I'm not going to let the devil get me out of church. I got to be determined. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And if you're a born-again Christian, I'll guarantee you the devil's coming out of you. And he's not going to call you up ahead of time and say, I'm a-coming. He's just going to jump out of you and grab you from behind the door somewhere. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rule of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, our fallen nature that all of us have, that didn't get changed at salvation. We still have that fallen nature. That's what the devil likes to use. He likes to cash in on our fallen nature and make it demand we satisfy the fallen nature. And that's why we got to stay in this book. We got to stay in church. We got to stay in prayer. We got to stay in love with Jesus Christ, church. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. We're living in the evil day. We're living in the end of days for this sin-sick world before the coming again of Jesus to rapture out His church, His bride. Having done all, stand. Just stand there. I shall not be moved, old hymn says. Yeah, we got to build on that solid rock and we shall not be moved. We can live a life of victory over sexual sins if we will love Jesus, love His word, and commit ourselves to the Lord to be used and bring honor and glory to Him, church. We can be living, overcoming lives for the glory of God. Not for our praise, but for our God's glory that would want to save sinners like us. Oh, we're such sinful race of people. And yet we're so loved by God. He sent His Son into the world to pay for our sin. Oh, only Jesus could pay for them. Only Jesus. We're starting a new year. This is the first Sunday in the new year. I don't know what this year is going to hold, but it don't look like it's going to hold. It looks like it's going to hold a lot of bad things. All right, the missiles have already started over in Israel. More to come this week, I understand. Not a pretty picture. But you know what? Think about it in these terms. I belong to the Lord. The Lord will keep me. And the Lord might even come get us. Amen. This might be the year the Lord comes. Wouldn't that be a hallelujah time, church? Yeah. Today, let's get mad at the devil and repent of all of our sin. Turn from any sin and commit to live for the Lord and serve the Lord and help get out the word of the Lord. And you'll be blessed, not just now. It'll be eternally blessed. And you won't ever regret what you do for the Lord in getting out His gospel. Loving God, thank You for letting me have this time today to preach Your word, to warn our congregation. Lord, every congregation needs to hear about all these sins that You're so displeased with. These sins that's destroying, wrecking people's life and their testimony, and they don't even realize it. They're so blind. They're so caught up in their lust and sin. Lord, have mercy, I pray. Lord, bring deep, great convictions upon them, Lord. And the sinners that's in sin, Lord, help them to see they need Jesus Christ to cleanse them, forgive them, and make them a new person in our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless the word to all of our hearts. Let us stay mad at the devil and in love with Jesus, I pray in His name. Amen and amen. May the Lord speak to hearts today. Our altar's open for those that would come and talk to the Lord. Come pray for some. You might know people that's in sin. You might know people that needs to get saved. You might be greatly used of the Lord by praying for these people.